All right, back to Luke, Luke 17. We're in verse 20. What's going on here? Oh, I'm in Luke 18. No wonder. Never mind. I'm not well.
We already did that.
Verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Now, observation just means, it means a lot of things, but it's a word that there's no outward appearance. There's nothing that you can visually see that would give you the idea that the kingdom of God was here. Now, this is critical. But we know one thing, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And that's not talking about culture, it's talking about individuals. Now, we're going to take a side trip. It's about this, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians. We've talked about this many times, but here it's important to see this in this context of what we just studied in Luke. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I would beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our gathering together gathering together unto him. I gotta get glasses, Pete.
Oh, yeah. But you,
that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as that the kingdom or the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away or an apostasy first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Now, based on that scripture, millions of Christians believe that Christ will not come or return until the temple in Jerusalem is rebuilt. We know there's an organization, well, 5 years ago, that organization had raised billions of dollars to rebuild the temple. I'm not sure it's billions, but it's millions and millions of dollars. It's called the Jerusalem Foundation, if I remember right. And they're wanting to rebuild the temple so that Christ can come. Now here, it essentially says that. The day of Christ cannot come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who sets himself up in the temple God. And there's a whole theology about this. That for 3.5 years, there's going to be blah, 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 and then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And we've seen, if you go to most evangelical churches, they have charts that show you when this is going to happen. Even though we just read, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. But here's the kicker. The word temple there is not hieron, which is the temple complex in Greek. This word temple is naos. And it only means the holy place and the holy of holies. And that's what you are called, is the naos of God. Now, get this. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you, and you are the temple, but you're not the whole temple with the sacrificial system and the laver and all that. You are the holy place and the holy of holies, every one of us. And in that holy place is the mercy seat, is the Ark of the Covenant, is the table of showbread, is the altar of incense. You are that temple. But the kingdom of God can't come until a man of sin is revealed. Everybody with me? Now, who's the man of sin then? Well, the man of sin is the Antichrist. That's what it says. Anti doesn't mean against. It means instead of. Who is the Antichrist in you as the temple of God? Who was the instead of Christ? It doesn't take much guessing to know it's you. You are the instead of Christ. Every man and woman and child in the universe is the instead of Christ. Because they are set up in the temple of God, judging for themselves what's good and not good. Right? But now we've got billions of dollars being raised. Wars are about to be fought because of misunderstanding of that one scripture. And they believe, again, the kingdom of God comes with observation. We're going to see something. It's just like the Muslims have the same kind of thing. Their Mahdi can't come. Their Savior can't come until Israel is destroyed. Did I not read this right?
Sounds right.
Huh?
Sounds right. There's a witness to it.
And who? It can't be revealed until a man. The day of Christ can't come until a man of sin be revealed. Well, the man of sin has been revealed. It's you and I. That's why we have to die to self. That's why we were buried in baptism.
Son of perdition. What does the word perdition mean? Son of perdition.
Son of the evil one. Just like in John 8, where it says, Christ calls the Jews that believed on him, you are of your father, the devil. Now, it's not father like sired, but father like at the fall, your mind became the evil one. Now, if you know of some other scriptures that deny this, please talk to me, because they're going to, when we make this very big public, they're going to kill us.
On this falling away.
Apostasy.
It sounds like a huge event.
No, it's a gradual event. It's been gradual since the time, but it's the time of apostasy is fulfilled.
So that's not necessarily perfect.
No, this is national. This is international. This is the falling away of. You can't fall away from something unless you believe something first. Mm-hmm. They're Christians, is what they're talking about, that have fallen away from the understanding. Because they're, and again, it's all based on the scripture we read, that the kingdom of God is going to come by observation. So you have to do these things in order that the kingdom of God can come.
Well, then that implies there will be a man.
It is. You.
Well, wait a minute. We're talking about an external falling away. And then a man will come.
No, it says, that's not what it says.
It doesn't say external.
It says,
well,
let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed. Not will come. He's going to be revealed.
Well, this
that's what it says.
I know that's what it says, but the interpretation is what we're talking about. And the interpretation is either exterior or interior or both. Now, is it both? Because personally, there comes a falling away, and the son of perdition is revealed.
Right. But there doesn't it isn't by observation, it's by revelation.
I don't care how it comes. Revelation. That's not the point. So then, if that's how I've always heard this, it's not about what's going on out there, it's about what's going on here. But what's going on out there, then, is the same thing, but this, if it's the same thing out there, a man will rise up.
No.
Well, that's what it says.
No, it doesn't. It says the man of sin will be revealed.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about rising up. I don't see that here. Unless, show which.
Now, the man of sin has been revealed.
What's what it says? The man of sin be revealed.
Pardon?
That's what Ole's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Rise up. A man.
Well, the man rise up, Pete. Sorry, I said rise up.
Okay.
There come a falling away outside of us.
No, involving us, involving everything. The apostasy is worldwide.
Okay. So it's external.
But you can't see it. It doesn't come, it's not by observation. It's by revelation.
Okay, well, there's a little twist here that I can't get a grip on because I've been under the impression as we've read this, it really is personal. And the son of perdition is revealed here, and you realize you are the Antichrist. Now that's personal.
But it's going to be revealed, it has to be revealed to the broad audience, not to a small city.
So why can't you say it's both? Why are you arguing that it's not?
I'm not arguing with it. I'm arguing with it that it's a particular man that some going to. It's the man of sin is all of us. That's what's being revealed. You are the man of sin. I am the man of sin.
It's not Henry. In other words, it's not Henry, just Henry Kissinger. Somebody that everybody thinks.
The man of sin is revealed. He's the same in every person. His name, he's called the evil one.
So, but that's yet.
No, it's happened. I remember specifically with the first time I said it anyway.
But you just started this with their doing the temple thing and...
I'm saying it can't be what the external are saying. Because the word for temple isn't the thing that they're trying to rebuild. The word for temple is you.
Right. Okay. That makes it personal.
And it's all of us.
And it's personal to each man. But the way that to me seems is as each person reveals or has that revelation, then is when they're part of the body of Christ. Because
no.
In the essence of that revelation, there's no self-seeking.
Well, I know.
That,
But this is about a different subject. This is read one more time. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day of Christ shall not come except there become a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, the naos of God, showing himself that he's God. He shows himself. The only time it talks about showing yourself that you're God is when you judge for yourself good and evil. That was the first thing in Genesis. So this is talking about, well, it's obviously talking about personal too, but it's talking about the man of sin isn't going to be revealed, or the day of Christ isn't going to happen until a man of sin is revealed everywhere, that at least the opportunity for him is to be revealed. Now they'll reject it because of the apostasy. And they'll kill you because they think they're doing God holy service, because you are calling the individual the Antichrist. They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service.
See, that's why I'm saying there's two. One is in time. This is going to come.
But it already has happened.
For us, it already is.
But that means it's been revealed. It doesn't matter. It didn't say nationally. It says, till the man of sin be revealed. Mm-hmm. It could have been in a cave in XYZ. It doesn't matter.
Son of perdition reminds me of, like, some of the messianic titles, but it's the exact opposite. Jesus is the son of man, the son of God. The son of perdition sounds just like the opposite of that.
Well, it is. It's the instead of Christ. Well, let's go on. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one, or wicked, it says wicked one in the, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's what happens in you.
That's personal.
Now let's go back to Genesis 3 and I want to show you something. Okay, Genesis 3, everybody there?
No.
Pete tore out the first few verses, the first pages of Genesis.
Get rid of that. Actually,
just get rid of it.
Apart.
All right, this is now. And again, unless you know about it, a serpent that can talk and that eats dust. This serpent in Genesis 3 is the mind. Your mind. That's all. The mind has always been in ancient cultures the parable for your mind. The serpent has. Now, remember, they were born in innocence. And innocence means without self-awareness. I mean, they were created. And then God told Adam to do something. And he said, name the names. Now, before he named the names, you've got to hear this, there was no sense of separation from anything. The only thing he was aware of was everything, but there was no sense of separation. He had to name the names, and in naming the names, then he had the possibility for the fall. That's what I want you to see.
So then God provided that.
Right, because
He had to provide that, or there'd be no test.
Right, exactly. So. And they were in Adam and Eve were innocent. But God doesn't want innocence, He wants holiness. What holiness is tested innocence. Now, we don't know how many tests they passed, but we know the one they failed. Now, let's look at that. And again, unless you know about a serpent that talks and it eats dust, then you got to at least accept the possibility that I'm right. The serpent is always a metaphor for the mind. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now she added, touch it. That created this humongous fear because she, it was probably Adam's fault because he didn't tell her what he said. She added, touch it. Now if she had touched it, she would have had dominion over it. That's the whole meaning. And it wouldn't have been a test. I mean, she could have easily just threw the mind out. But listen to what happened. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So rather than being in innocence, they judge for themselves good and evil. Now this is why it's so important. In Matthew 18, it says, except you become as that little child in innocence, be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And that's what has to happen in us. We must return to that innocence of Adam and Eve before the fall. Because the fall and the power of the fall was to be as gods, judging good and evil. So this is huge. Now let's go over and see. Let's go over. We've been studying.
And that is directly tied to 2 Thessalonians that God.
They'll be as God.
As God.
Right. That's why we took it.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go and look at what happened after the fall. In verse 14, you can read the rest of it and check this out. But in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Again, better translation is, by thy belly you shall be led. By your appetites you shall be led. And dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Now this is what happened to man, or the mind. Dust is all they eat. Your mind, no matter how expensive, no matter what you want to do, no matter what things you think about, they're all dust, because everything was created from dust. So dust is what the human race is eating all the days of their life. And that's why there's a point in which dust no longer gives you satisfaction and sustenance. Then, by definition, you are poor. Then you can hear the gospel. Otherwise, the gospel will be used to try to put make the dust taste better. You understand?
Dust all about.
Can you see how fundamental this is? That's why we must no longer eat dust as believers. Our sustenance and satisfaction must come from the blood and the flesh of the Son of God alone. And you can't do that. You're created not to be able to do that until you see that what you believe and what you do and all your activities no longer give you sustenance and satisfaction. Hallelujah. Then, when you've come to the end of eating dust, then you can begin to eat and gain the sustenance and satisfaction of that which never, and you will never thirst and never hunger. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Remember, it's the flesh that gives you sustenance and satisfaction, in a way, but really it's the blood that gives you worth, which you have to have. So that's why, no matter what you eat or what you drink, if you see it as this afkomen, then you perceive in you that the solid you're eating are as the flesh of God. And the blood and any liquid you're drinking is as the blood of it. So that's the worth.
Yeah, I can see that the worth, that's total. What about the flesh, though? There's another one. Mm-hmm. Worth is the blood. What word describes the flesh?
Sustenance and satisfaction.
Okay.
And then when you come to a point, that's why, for me, I had done everything I wanted to do. I'd been all over the world. I had all the money. And nothing was giving me sustenance and satisfaction.
So you kept trying to get more different ways.
Yeah, but then I saw that was worth it.
Whatever, yeah.
So then came the conversion.
Yeah.
But the conversion wasn't to make me better at getting money or traveling or having whatever. The conversion was, that's all crap.
So,
but let's go to Philippians. All right. This is Paul's just crying out.
Philippians 3.
And starting verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now this is a direct reference to the curse of the snake.
Yeah.
Led by your appetites. Dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Whether it's overgrown guys on steroids that pat each other in the ass, or whether it's diamond rings, or whether it's money, or whether it's women, or whatever, it's all dust. And until that dust no longer gives you sustenance and satisfaction, you will continue to eat the dust. You get pissed off at me because I make fun of you for eating dust.
Why is this italicized?
Why is what?
Why is it all italicized? Or not italicized, it's in parentheses. Exactly. I didn't want to put this in there, but
italicized. The parentheses, you mean all the whole that
yeah,
whole verse in parentheses?
Controversial in the sense that it's all in italics. parentheses.
Well, what it, but when if it's in italics, it means it's been added. If it's in parentheses, for some reason, the reason is that whoever translated it didn't like it too much. Yeah,
period.
Right. You have to die.
Yeah, and so this they didn't want to put in because they wanted the good gospel, not the...
They wanted the gospel that kept them alive, probably.
Yeah.
But it's the same as we do. Just that's why we buy all these stupid translations, that they are so bad because they make it try to understandable to the... They try to make it understandable to dust.
That word in 18, for many walk, is that word...
Almost all.
All right. No wonder they want to put it in here. Yeah.
Of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Not preaching about the cross 2,000 years ago, but preaching of the cross today, your death, his life. But the man of sin has been revealed, the son of perdition. It's Jeff. And 666 is written on his forehead. And 666 is written on his hand. Because the forehead, whatever on the forehead is a parable for what how you think. What's on your right hand is what you do. But it's also on Gary, on me. It's there's a lot of space for writing it on Barry's forehead. Barry has a large forehead. But each one of us are the instead of Christ, and that man of sin therefore has been revealed. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called a god or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in this temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. It's a lot of the human race. That's why Jesus said, abandon yourself. Don't follow the evil one anymore. And the evil one is your mind, the fruit of the fall. All right, we didn't get very far, but we took a little side trip.
18 and 19, was that parentheses? He's addressing the deceived believers, the ones that believed in him but had not picked up their cross.
They hadn't died. They're trying to keep themselves alive.
Pass that test.
What?
Pass that test. I failed many.
Alright. Now, believe it or not, what I said this morning was a gospel that was preached in the first century. And even then, they said there were many antichrists. You couldn't be an antichrist unless you were a Christian, in their mind. Because anti is instead of. Now, boy, we've got a lot of them instead of. They call themselves Christians. But they live as Gentiles. They esteem what the world esteems. They fear what the world fears. They want what the world wants. Even the translations of the Bible. In 1 John 4 it says, don't believe every spirit. Test them. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But every translation except King James says something like that he did come in the flesh. The Antichrist will confess he did come and that he will come. But it's only the spirit of the living God that can confess he is come. Amen? All right. We have a custom. Somebody's first time, they get to talk without me backfiring. Any response?
Kittens.
Huh?
I said kittens.
His mouth is open, but he's not speaking.
There was a verse in 2 Thessalonians that I was curious about. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians
right.
2, 9.
Right. Now, just think of the human race.
Even him is in italics. That was added by a scribe.
But again, just think of what the human race has done, what the mind has done.
Well, signs and lying wonders.
Just look at the lying wonders and signs of the human race.
That would be stuff like this fake slaying the spirit thing.
No. That would be
lying,
stuff like
those are lying wonders.
Yeah, but we're talking. Yeah, that's obviously one. But we're just think about what the things that the human mind has done, causing fire to come down from the sky, going to the moon, whatever all progress, having electric lights.
So you just mentioned the Bible reference about fire falling from the sky. What would that be? A bomb?
Just think of the jillions of weapons that he saw in the spirit. Don't ascribe this thing we call Satan. I mean, people give him so much power. He's a toothless lion. He has no power except through his vehicles. This cross says that Satan was defeated. It says it many times. He was defeated at the cross. That was Christ's purpose, to defeat him. What was his left is the fruit of the Satan, of the fall, and that's the human race. That's why the whole thing, that's why it says the human race died at the cross. Christ was the last Adam. If one died for all, then all are dead. Well, who's living then? Either Jesus or the evil one. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground.
Curiosity. You use some words, I think you interpret as metaphors, and other you interpret literally. Do you have a special criteria? I mean, how do you do that?
How do I do what?
When you read something in the Bible, how do you know if it's literal or if it's a metaphor?
Well, the only let me tell you something. This is hard to believe, but I have never learned anything from the Bible. I learned from the conversion experience and what I saw. And everything in the Bible proves it. And so that's the only way I can answer that question. I haven't learned anything about the mystery of God since January 17th, 1972. I tried to prove what I saw was wrong for 12 years because it cost me everything.
I mean, there are other people that have conversion experiences but interpret the Bible differently.
No, I agree. No question. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I don't care whether anyone believes me or not. I believe that through many, many witnesses, what I teach is true. because I didn't want to teach. That's the last thing in the universe I wanted to do. So it's, and I'm not trying to convince anybody, that's their business. But it's all him. There's nothing else. There's only the vessels of wrath, the vessels of mercy. There's no in between. There's only the whore or the bride. That's what the Bible says. We like to think there's a middle ground, a neutral ground. No neutral ground. The Bible also said there's no private interpretation of scriptures. But the only thing they called scripture then was the Old Testament, the Torah. And the only interpretation of Torah is Jesus Christ. He's in every feast, he's in every aspect of Leviticus, he's in Abel being slain, he's in Joseph being, I mean, he's everything. And that's why there's no private interpretation, because it's all a revelation of Christ.
What's that scripture that says that he's
what?
I don't know the scripture. I know it, but I don't know where it is about you search the scriptures and things.
Yeah, it says John 5. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of life, but you fool, they testify only of me and you won't come to me. John 5:39, I think.
So that's the interpretation. Anything outside of that, which there's plenty, is taking you away.
Well, it's also what Jesus said at the end, when he was talking to the disciples. He went through the law, the writings, and the prophets, showing that every scripture was about him.
Mm-hmm. I think about the question Barry asked, like in 10, after 9, 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So, deceivableness, people are deceived.
Well, that's why, and again, this is why this was addressed in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, in you, in earth.
But this is what God causes to happen.
Right.
Which is pretty damnable after you read 9.
11. God sends them a strong delusion.
Sends a delusion that they believe a lie.
Yeah.
But they're believing it in the name of Jesus. That's what you've got it. That's what's so shocking.
Yeah. So when you start understanding that, then that Second Thessalonians starts coming into focus.
Well, Lord's Prayer, man. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, the bread of the face, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's much more emphasis than the original. It says, above all, lead us not inward into temptation, but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. That's really what the Lord's Prayer says. And it says it's in earth, not on earth, but every translation that I know of, except King James, says it says on earth. I mean, this isn't... You don't know how badly I didn't want to teach. Anyhow, that's enough for today. Take it, big guy.
Okay, we question.